warring sides in Ukraine have agreed to pull back their heavy weapons from the eastern front line in accordance with the UN-backed truce deal. Now, according to Ukrainian military sources, the two sides are expected to withdraw heavy weapons over the next 2 weeks. A mission from the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe has entered the flashpoint city of Debaltseve to monitor the process of heavy arms removal from the rest of area. Under the truce mediated by Germany and France in Minsk, the withdrawal of the weapons was supposed to start last Tuesday. However, the ceasefire has been repeatedly violated since the deal was signed on February 15. In the meantime, Ukrainian forces and pro-Russian militias exchanged prisoners on Saturday to fulfill another phase of their agreement. Manuel Olsen-Reiter is editor-in-chief of Zurs, who joins us from Berlin to tell us what he thinks about this. Manuel Olsen-Reiter, at this point, a number of days have passed. Do you believe that Minsk II, as many are calling it, is going to stick?
Well, what I believe is that the Minsk II is a short of break and a short of very necessary break when we look how much the civilians at the front line and in eastern Ukraine suffered during the last months. We have to see that there was a real bloodshed among civilians, which are, by the way, all civilians, all Russians, what means they are on the very eastern part of Ukraine, while in western Ukraine, where Kiev is governing, we don't have any civilian victims. So for these people, it is an encouraging sign, but it will not end the conflict. It is an agreement about a break in the war, and it's not a peace agreement. We shouldn't forget this, because the conflict itself is still not solved, and it shows that also, like Minsk I agreement, and what also now happens since Minsk II is that the truce is violated always, especially, by the way, by the Kiev side, which was always trying to get some more territories back. So we should wait, and we should simply be happy right now for the civilians in the area that they get a break, and that they get a break to breath and to recover.
Isn't it very telling that when you think about this war, which at this point is going through what you're terming as a recession in a way, is really not about Ukraine's government and Russia or the eastern side. It's been more involved about the players outside of this country, namely the United States and Russia, or the European Union and Russia. What does that say about this conflict overall?
Exactly. It is the Western narrative, what we have in Western mainstream media. They report about this war that it is about the form of governance in Ukraine. What we had, by the way, since more than a year, since the Maidan riots, that they were saying it is about how Ukraine is governed, if there is democracy, if there is a sort of Western liberty and so on. But all this is wrong. It's a geopolitical conflict. We speak about geopolitical spheres of influence. And in our days, the Ukrainian government, the government of Poroshenko, is a Western proxy sitting in Kiev. We know that he gets support by the European Union as well as from the United States of America, and he has a clear mission to gain the power in this very important geopolitical spot right in front of the gates to Russia, to say it like this. And we have on the other side, of course, Russia and the Russians in Ukraine, which are feeling to be part of the Russian world and also to feel that they want to be part of Russia. At least they don't want to be part of the West and of the European Union. So all this conflict has a much bigger meaning than just forms of governance, democracy, corruption, and so on. And we can compare this conflict with the conflicts we had in the Caucasian area, with the Georgian war, but also with the Chechenian wars, where we had always those two players on the battlefield, on the back of the militants on the back battlefield. We have always the West supporting militants or in the Georgian conflict, the Georgian army. It is about geopolitical influence, and it is about the plan of the West or the idea of the West to have a unipolar world order, what means to have the influence everywhere in the world. And it's about the defense of those parts in the world. There is not one central other pole defending. We have many other little poles who are defending themselves against this Western influence. We can count for this, for example, also the Islamic Republic of Iran. We can count Russia. We can count China. Also, Syria is defending itself right now against becoming part sort of spiritual or mental colony or even economical colony of the Western world. So this is what we see now in Ukraine, and this is what this war is about. And as long this problem is not solved, there will be not an eternal peace. It will go on. We will have now a truce agreement, but the problem is not solved at all.
Pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much for that. Manuel Austin-Ryder, editor-in-chief of Zurist.